There's a song this year that I have been teaching the preschoolers that really has spoken to me as David has been giving his sermons and Jeff in this particular series that we're in. As we serve God and we go out in the community and we serve others, sometimes it's not an easy task. It's a difficult task. You may come up against someone who really doesn't want your help, but you know needs some help. You come up against others who are just reluctant to let you step out and help them. Well, this song sort of talks about that, and it talks about how God is the one that goes before you. So no matter what the task is that God has given you, He's got it already. I'm not a warrior, I'm too afraid to lose. I feel unqualified for what you're calling me to do. But Lord, with your strength, I got no excuse. 'Cause broken people are exactly who you use. Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. You took a shepherd boy and made him a king, so I'm gonna trust you and give you everything. I'll be a conqueror, 'cause you fight for me. I'll be a champion, claiming your victory. Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the walls, won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call, Jesus, Jesus. Gonna sing and shout and shake the walls, won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call, Jesus. Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. Lord, I'll face my giants with confidence. Children, be dismissed for junior worship. Go and be blessed.
Did you enjoy that? You ought to hear those kids next door from my office singing that. The walls start shaking and I think they're going to fall. Hey, good morning, MCC. As Mother Nature continues to treat us brutally, it is so good to be here in the warmth of this fellowship of friends and family. If you're joining us for the first time today, it's our prayer this will be the first of many times. Pastor Jeff kicked off our current sermon series a couple of weeks ago. It's called Engage. His message was a call to engage with God. Last Sunday, I built on that message by looking at engage with one another. That message was about engaging with one another in the church. This week's message is about engaging with one another in the community. We were reminded last week, we are all born with this innate selfish desire. You don't have to teach a child how to pull a toy out of someone else's hand. How many of you have seen that? We begin at a very early age teaching our children to share with others, to give to others, to serve and help others. And it seems to take forever for us to learn, and unfortunately, some never do. It seems that for many, their life is all about the pursuit of me. Neglecting their families, stepping on friends, working long hours to climb the corporate ladder, class after class, seminar after seminar, training after training, all to keep up so we can get ahead. We're so educated in America today, we're just going to hell smart. But that's the sinful nature we're all born with. Then Jesus comes along, and He teaches some very different things. In fact, some very radical things. Things like love your enemies. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. Forgive people who sin against you. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink or what you'll wear. Don't store up treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. The greatest among you must be servant of all. Don't judge others. And by the way, no, all roads don't lead to heaven. Small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. No one comes to the Father except through me. And yet, this very radical teaching amazed the crowds. His teaching had authority, and the life he lived gave it authenticity. And then came the creme de la creme, the icing on the cake, the whipped cream on the pumpkin pie, the cherry on top. Well, you get the idea. Jesus said to His disciples, speaking of us, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You have to love how the message reads, I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. But you know, that will require a new nature. We're all born with a sinful nature. How do we get a new nature? Well, here's some more of Jesus' radical teaching. John 3:7, you must be born again. Wow, did that stir up some conversation? Nicodemus asked, how can someone be born when they're old? And Jesus explained, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Oh, a spiritual birth. Well, let's be honest, that didn't help much. In fact, even His disciples didn't get it until after His death, burial, and resurrection. But once they got it, wow, they were filled with the Spirit. And they spoke to a massive crowd on the day of Pentecost, telling them all about who Jesus really was and what He had come to do. And, by the way, how they had blown it. And then we're told, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And, wait for it, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God will call. Then we're told just a couple of verses later, those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And talk about new lives. Talk about changed lives. They began living a very different kind of life. Verse 44 in Acts 2 tells us, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And then watch this. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. And boy, here's a kicker for you. Enjoying the favor of one another. Is that what it says? Of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Paul explains it a bit more for us in his letter to the Romans. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We are therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. Did you connect the dots there? Repentance, baptism, gift of the Spirit, death, new life, born again, body ruled by sin, done away with. That's being born again. That's getting a new nature. And Paul says it so beautifully in his second letter to the Corinthians. And this is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. The new nature. How does that happen? I don't know. All I know is it's a God thing. Nothing special in the water of our baptistry. I think it comes from the Sangamon water thing, doesn't it? Same water you get out of the fountain out there. You could sleep in it overnight, all you get is wrinkled. It's your simple act of obedience and God's blood cleansing, changing power. Peter gives some insight with these words. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He's given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in His divine nature. New birth, new nature. Now, how does this new nature, this divine nature, if you will, how does this new nature manifest itself in us today? How do we show the world around us we are new creations? How do we show them this is the abundant life they're seeking? How do we show them how to find it too? We show them by engaging them. By serving them. Last week we looked in some detail how Jesus got together with His disciples for the very last time. How it was a time when they should be serving Him, honoring Him, but instead they're arguing over who's going to be the greatest. It was during that meal that Jesus taught one of His most important and most profound lessons without a word. He wrapped a towel around his waist, filled a basin with water, and he did the most demeaning thing a person could do in that day. Something that had been reserved for slaves, those who were thought of as less than human. He washed his disciples' feet. When he finished, he asked them if they understood what he had done. He had just shown them to be the greatest, you have to be a servant. And he concluded his visual teaching with these words, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Having just told an expert in the law that to inherit eternal life, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And what was the second part? Love your neighbor as yourself. The lawyer asked him, "Well, who's my neighbor?" Jesus responded with a parable that we call the Good Samaritan. It's about a traveler who is robbed, stripped of his clothing, beaten, and left half dead along the side of the road. A priest and a Levite come by, but both avoid the man and his need for help. Then a Samaritan, the kind of people you don't associate with, a man despised by the Jews. He also happens upon the traveler, and wouldn't you know it, interrupting his own travel plans, and at his own expense, he stopped and helped the injured man. When Jesus asked the lawyer, "Now which of these three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, which of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell into trouble?" He answered with a very obvious answer, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus wraps up the story of the Good Samaritan and says, "Go and do likewise." "But I don't like those people." Go and do likewise. You want to be great? Be a servant. You want to be blessed? Serve others. You want to know what to do with this new life in Christ? Serve others. In the church? Yes. In the communities around us? Yes. Galatians 6:10 instructs us, "Therefore, as we have opportunity..." Don't force anything. God knows there are opportunities galore. "But as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Now notice it said, especially, not exclusively. This has been God's teaching for His people since time immemorial. When Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt, it was his faithfulness to God and the way he served in Potiphar's house and the jail and in the king's court that led Joseph to being put in charge of the whole land of Egypt. When Daniel and his companions were taken captive into the land of Babylon, it was their resolve not to defile themselves and to never serve any other god than Jehovah, and yet to serve the king as godly men, that kept them safe from a fiery furnace and a den of lions, and turned a king's heart to their God. Through Jeremiah, God told all His people living in Babylonian captivity, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." When Jesus came to dwell among us, the King of Kings did not come to have palaces and statues built to Him. He did not come to amass an army or to rule a kingdom. He came to give His life a ransom for many and to build a church. When Jesus came, the Creator of the universe did not come with the pomp and circumstances of men, but as a baby in a manger. When Jesus broke through the pages of human history, the Lord of Lords did not come as another God to be worshipped. He came to serve, not to be served. And we will follow His example. As we have opportunity, we will do good to all people. MCC as a church will serve others. We will engage one another in our communities. Last year, we adopted a paradigm shift in our purpose and outreach. Always staying faithful to God and to His Word and to His church, but reaching into our communities, we called it For Muhammad. As Christians, we are called to restore the communities we serve for the gospel. In His perfect love, God gives us everything we need in Jesus, and He frees us to give our everything to each other and to others outside these walls. Through our words and our actions, we are called to meet the needs of our city. And there are physical, social, emotional, and spiritual brokenness out there and in here. It can be paralyzing just to know where to begin. But for our joy and His glory, God invites us to be a part of bringing His kingdom to Muhammad and the surrounding communities we serve, both by declaring and demonstrating His love. But if we're honest, it's pretty overwhelming. There's so much brokenness, so much pain, so much need. We see it in our neighborhoods, our schools, on the street corners, in the news. And that's where we come in. For Muhammad means we will get involved to restore brokenness, to meet the needs of our city. How do we do that? First of all, we partner with others. You see, there are a lot of great organizations doing some really great things here. They're standing up for the widows and the orphan. They're seeking to mend broken families. They're feeding and clothing our neighbors. They're bearing burdens of the weak and oppressed. They are loving the marginalized and protecting the unwanted. And they need people who will get involved and serve alongside them. They need you. They need me. Many of you are already involved with some of these organizations. Helping Hands, It Takes a Village, Salt and Light, Mercy's Refuge, providing peanut butter for school children, providing and packing backpacks for the homeless, collecting and distributing coats and gloves for the less fortunate, filling baby bottles with your loose change for Living Alternatives. We partner with others. Second, we provide ministries and outreach on our own. MCC offers many opportunities for serving our community. Small Wonders Preschool, Oasis Senior Adult Ministry, women's groups, men's groups, youth groups, our freedom groups, summer lunch programs, Vacation Bible School, Living Flag, even our golf scramble, helping folks move, helping fix a neighbor's furnace, which, by the way, a couple of our men did just yesterday. In this freezing weather, a family's furnace quit. They spent almost all day helping to fix it. Giving folks rides to doctor's appointments, sitting with someone who needs company or just needs a break, visiting the hospitals and the assisted living facilities. All reaching out to meet needs in our community, all attended by many people in our community as well as our own church, and all needing others to come alongside and serve with us. We're composing a list, by the way, of many of the places you can serve. It'll be available soon. And third, we present ourselves to God's leading. And maybe, just maybe, God is or will lay on your heart a need in our community or in our church that is not being met. And He wants you to help meet it. And get others to join you in meeting that need. There's one of those opportunities in the planning stages right now for the spring, even as we speak. And there's an opportunity for you to serve a need in our community right now. You ready? A single mom of two young teenagers, a working mom who has worked with Pastor Jeff. She's held down three part-time jobs, but recent illnesses has caused her to miss a lot of work over the last 6 weeks. Originally diagnosed with lupus. Since then has had surgery for a gene that fuses her spine together. She went into respiratory failure with a partially collapsed lung. And now her bone marrow is killing off her red blood cells. She's had several trips to the hospital. Now has finally gotten a date to go to the Mayo Clinic in March. She's done due diligence in applying for assistance with the hospital, tapping into state and federal programs, and hasn't asked for a thing. But having learned of the need, our elders have agreed to put her needs before you and to ask if you are so led to take part in a special offering with us. It'll be used to help with things that the programs and assistance won't cover. Some medicine, some gift cards for groceries and household items like toilet paper and laundry detergent. We want you to pray about it and see if and how God wants you to give. And then we're going to receive a special offering over the next 2 weeks, February 3rd and 10th. Let's consider this. What if hundreds of Christians got involved in caring for our city? What if we lived lives of mercy and justice, loved the hurting, fed the hungry, and spoke up for the weak? Imagine if we demonstrated with our time and our gifts and our lives that Jesus restores all things. Imagine if our city saw something different, heard something different, came to know someone different, someone named Jesus. He's the hope of our city and our world. He's the hope for Muhammad and the surrounding communities we serve. And serving Him, even just giving a cup of water in His name to His honor and glory, that is being for Muhammad. All of us are called to serve. We all have a part in serving the Lord in this city where He has sent us. But I want to be clear and candid about something. All of us will have varying degrees of involvement. Some have more time than others. Some have more resources than others. Not everyone will be doing everything the exact same way. Not everyone will have the heart for or the calling to serve where you are called to serve. Some of you are dying to be a part of this. Some of you are already a part of this, on the front lines, being the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. Others have heard the call to carry the burdens of our city in prayer. Others have been blessed to ease the burdens of our city by giving financially to the work already being done. So here's your takeaway. Don't dream small dreams. Well, I don't have time. I'm not very talented. I don't have much. I don't know what I would do. Don't dream small dreams. In our class of the young couples for reading the book, it's not about you. How about what can God do with you? What can God do through you? You got to understand how many people did not believe when I told them when I graduated high school I was going off to Bible college to be a preacher. The most frequent response was, "You?" At my own ordination, the associate pastor, before laying on of hands, said to the people in our congregation, "If God can use David, you finish that. He can use anybody." Now, he didn't mean it the way it came out, but it's what he said. I even have one very close friend that said, "Well, that doesn't make any sense. You're going to barber college?" Now, I'll admit, I had good hair back then. But barber college? No, Bible college. I think God's done okay with me. Yeah, they're better. But like the prophet of old, I said, "Well, here am I, send me." And he did. Sent me to the cold, frigid weather of Mahomet, Illinois. Having served in southern Florida, my wife said, "You know, as we get older, we're supposed to be moving south. Somehow we started south and have been moving north ever since." Don't dream small dreams. Ask yourself, what do you like? What do you like? What stirs your heart? What do you have a passion for? Where are you gifted? And when are you most available? And then ask yourself, where is God calling you to engage with one another in our community for His glory? He's given you a new nature. A nature that would convert into action through serving others. Where will you serve? Of course, there are those who may not have received that new nature, that spiritual birth, that repentance and baptism and gift of the Holy Spirit and forgiveness of sin and a new creation. You may still be struggling with the old man. The old woman. And I don't mean the old woman. I mean the woman you used to be or are. He gives you an opportunity through Jesus Christ to change all of that. And His invitation is for everyone. And it's simple as it has always been. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that will be a spiritual rebirth, a spiritual new creation. Its decisions are yours. Father God, we thank You this morning that You have provided for us, not only through Christ, but through the labors of others who never knew us, who have already gone to be with You, some of them. And some still right here in our midst who cared about this city enough to say, "We need a good Christian church here, one that will be true to and preach and teach the Word of God. One, Father, that will, like Daniel and his friends, resolve to not defile ourselves with things and thinking of the world, but rather we will invade the world with Your thinking, Your worldview." Many before us thought of us without even knowing us to provide this great church we enjoy today. Let us continue not only to enjoy what they have left for us, but to build upon and to reach out further and provide an even greater church, a greater outreach for others, so they too can enjoy that life You came to give us, real and eternal, beyond anything we ever dreamed of. Those of us who walk that life, Father, know what it is. Those who don't, we invite to join us. We give You the glory and You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.